Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 309 in the series. It's August 12th, and we'll be here for 2 hours tonight. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Oh,
1
boy, I almost said 2.
I heard that.
1 a.m., we have The Adventures of Red Ryder and The Life of Riley. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. And we have Mike Costello in the studio, our executive producer. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing well.
We have Curtis Koch as our producer. What's up, Curtis?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're great. You have all the shows ready to go? I'm
sure
he does.
He's had him ready to go since last week. he's on it.
The Adventures of Red Ryder. We haven't played one of those in a while. Reed Hadley as Red Ryder, good Western, going way back to 1942. Then we have The Life of Riley, William Bendix as Chester A. Riley, good comedy family fare. But we're going to start things off with our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Annie Hall.
Annie Hall.
I know you love
Got this.
Doesn't he say that every time?
Every time.
Every time he's got it. And he gets about one
that's
out of
simple.
Three.
Come on, that's a Woody Allen film.
I know
There's not a Woody Allen film that I wouldn't get.
I feel the same way, although I'm going to make this difficult for you.
All right, the number to call to play the game, 312-981-7200. What is the prize?
The prize is 2 tickets to the Chicago Women's Funny Festival playing at Stage 773.
You should be in there. You're funny.
Oh, I'm funny, all right.
Yeah, but you're never mind. I'm not going to say it.
Good.
I don't want to get hate mail.
Okay, good.
You're funny. Let's just leave it right
funny.
There.
Funny. I
right?
like that.
So 312-981-7200. Call us. Be the fifth caller. Play the game live. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Pete on the line. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
Oh, I've never had a better day, I'll tell you.
Good. Well, we're going to make it good. We're going to make it even better for you.
Sounds great.
Okay, Annie Hall, 3 quotes. Here we go. Number 1. I would never want to belong to any club that would have someone like me as a member. That sounds like something you'd say, Carl.
Groucho Marx said it, actually.
Groucho Marx said that.
You are absolutely right. Number 2, I don't belong to any club or group. Number 3, I would never belong to any club that excluded anybody for race.
I would say number 2.
All right, Carl?
Well, I know what it is.
What is it?
So, does anybody else want to guess?
No, I'm asking you.
I told you I would know what it is.
I'm asking you.
It's number 1.
It might
Wait a minute.
Be. Sorry. So sorry, I forgot.
My chopped liver?
Okay, Roger. What do you think?
No, your fava bean.
You think it's number 3, right?
Okay, yes, Lisa. I think it's number 3,
sure. That's what I thought. But only Curtis knows. Let's hear it.
I would never want to belong to any club that would have someone like me for a member.
There you go.
Oh.
So sorry, Roger.
The last time
you
I
so
listened
close.
To you. Don't talk to me again.
Pete, you know what? It doesn't matter. You are a big winner. We are so happy. We're going to give you 2 tickets to the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. It is the nation's largest celebration of women in comedy. It's at Stage 773, which is on Belmont. It's running August 23rd to 26th. And you can check it out at stage773.com or call 773-327-5252. Congratulations. I hope you have a funny, amazing time there.
I will. I'll have a great time. Thank you
Good.
So much.
Thanks,
Pete.
For calling.
Appreciate you, buddy. All right. Tell everyone about our text in line, Lisa.
I would love to. 312-981-7200. We are getting texts. I love to read them. I was just talking about how it's so great to be able to have the opportunity to communicate live with our listeners. So I hope that you take advantage of that.
Yeah. Please do text us 312-981-7200. That way Lisa won't fall asleep.
Yeah.
We'd like to keep her up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it's time now for Red Ryder. Mike did the, of course, digital remastering of this. Right, Mike?
Yep.
He is kind of a cave that he goes into.
Yep.
He's got all of these radio shows, and no one's we just throw him meat. You know, we throw him some meat and some water, and he just lives in that cave and digitally remasters all these shows.
And a little money here and there.
Yeah, a little money here and there.
Yeah, he won't work for just meat.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. All the meat that you don't eat, you send it to Mike.
That's right. And it's Mike's birthday on Tuesday, so everybody give him a shout
out. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you.
This is a Western adventure, and it was a radio show based on the popular comic strip by Steven Schlesinger and Fred Harmon, and it came to radio in 1942, had a very long run, lasted till 1951, and for a time, it beat its rival show, The Lone Ranger, in the ratings. The show was billed as America's famous fighting cowboy. Red was a cowhand who acted as a deputy sheriff going after the bad guys and bringing them to justice, but Red never killed his enemies, only shooting guns out of their hands. Reed Hadley, Carlton Cadell, and Brooke Temple all played Red Ryder over the run. There were 35 movies and serials, but there was never a TV show based on this particular character. Although, we've all seen the movie A Christmas Story, right? We've all seen that movie, and he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. Remember that? And they were always saying, no, you'll shoot your eye out. But then he got it, and guess what?
He nearly shot his eye out
on the show. And so that's all based on this character, Red Ryder. There was like a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun that you could buy, and it was based on this show. So let's go back to a broadcast date of March 5th, 1942. It's called The Iron Horse Junction. Reed Hadley starring now in The Adventures of Red Ryder.
From out of the West comes Red Ryder, America's famous fighting cowboy.
Drop that pony, little beaver. There's trouble at Iron Horse Junction, and it looks like Ace Hanlon's work. Let's hit the trail.
You betcha, Red Ryder. Get along. Get him up. Get.
Come on, Thunder. Ride 'em, cowboy.
The Adventures of Red Ryder. Adventure at Bullion Bend finished, Red Ryder is pushing on tonight through the Great Plains country in search of his arch enemy, Ace Hanlon. For word has reached Red that Hanlon, defeated in his last attempt at lawlessness, has come in this direction seeking new fields of profit. With his inseparable companion, Little Beaver, the fighting cowboy rides to the top of a ridge and looks down at the scene below.
Oh, Thunder. Well, Little Beaver, quite a little town down there.
What you calling that place, Red Ryder?
Well, right now it's known as Iron Horse Junction. It wasn't there 2 weeks ago, and it won't be there 2 more weeks.
Ghost town, huh?
No, nothing like that, little partner. You see, the men who live there are building a railroad, pushing it across the plains. Wherever the end of the rails happen to be, that's their hometown.
They get them food there, too, huh, Red Ryder?
Yes, and I get the hint all right, too. With all those paddies working on the tracks, they need to have plenty of food.
Where we go get them supper?
Well, you see that long train that lies along the track down there?
See them. All lit up like Indian and war paint.
That's right. These traveling towns are pretty wild sometimes when the paddies get going. Well, that's where they eat and sleep, and somewhere along that line we'll find a cook car.
Make them mouthwater.
All right, little beaver. We're both tired and hungry after that long ride over the plains. Come on, let's head for the grub. All right, Thunder.
Get him up!
Papoose.
Come on, Thunder. Well, here we are, Little Beaver. Hit it right on the nose. Here's the coat car. Come on. We leave the horses here.
Why men make them big talk, Red Rider?
I don't know. They act pretty mad about something, don't they?
All make them circle around one man. He'd tell them something.
Uh-huh. Well, probably it's nothing. These paddies are always shouting for some reason or other. All right, into the car. Up you go. Well, a lady cook, huh? Good evening, miss.
And a good evening to you, cowboy. What brings you to Iron Horse Junction?
Well, my little partner and I have been riding all day, and our stomachs are beginning to holler for some food. Think you can fix us up?
Food, is it? Now, in the first place, I'm not the cook of this outfit, and
Oh, you're not?
No. My father, Terence O'Grady, owns the food concession here, and I'm his accountant.
I see. Well, think you could rout out the cook for us?
I don't think I could rout out the cook or a waiter or anyone else tonight. They've all quit, but... Well, I'll see what I can stir up for you.
Well, now, that's right kind of you, miss.
But don't go expecting anything fancy. You'll be lucky to get anything at all.
Well, what seems to be the trouble? Food scarce?
Scarce isn't the name for it. There hasn't been a freight wagon in here with supplies for a week. And to make matters worse, the buffalo hunters haven't brought back any beef. We're about at our wits' end. Well, I'll see what I can find for you.
Say, miss, could it be that's the reason all those patties are carrying on outside there?
That's the reason, all right. You know that fella you saw talking to them?
Yes.
That's Jim McCluskey, one of the foremen. He's trying to stir the paddies up to revolt. And if we don't get supplies in another day, he'll do it, sure.
That's bad for a railroad that's just a building.
Come on in here, Bill, where we can talk. Well, we've got visitors, eh?
Howdy, sir. I guess you're Terence O'Grady?
That's right, sir.
My name's Red Rider, and this is my partner, Little Beaver.
Yeah, glad to know you, Rider. And this gentleman here is Bill Bundy. Prairie Bill Bundy. Best buffalo hunter in these parts.
Howdy, Rider.
Well, say, it's a real honor to meet you, Prairie Bill. Well, I didn't think
well,
I'd ever...
Well, I managed to script. Oh, you're back, Father. And Mr. Bundy.
Yes, Molly, we're back. Bill just came in.
Yeah, and did you...
Same luck again today, Molly. Didn't bring in a single buffalo.
Oh.
Seem to be having your troubles, Mr. O'Grady.
Trouble? Sure, and you don't know what we're up against.
But there must be plenty of buffalo herds in these parts, and with a great hunter like Prairie Bill...
Bill could get them if any man could. If there wasn't a deal of dirty work going on.
Dirty work? How's that?
Well, you see, Ryder, the Pawnees have been stampeding herd after herd before we could reach them, driving them up north.
Bill could handle them Injuns all right. But it's worse than that. They've been put up to it by the white men.
Father's got an idea who's starting all the trouble, but he can't catch him at it.
Yes, that's right. You see, there's a fellow named Ace Hanlon been hanging around.
Ace Hanlon?
That's right. You know the gent?
I certainly do. Might have known if there was some kind of crooked business going on. Hanlon would be in the vicinity.
We stay in here, huh, Red Rider? Catch a Mace Hanlon.
You're right, Little Beaver. If that hombre's in town...
Hey, okay.
Well, what's the matter now, McCluskey?
I hear tell us how Prairie Bill came back without any meat again today. That's all?
Well, yes, that's right, McCluskey.
That's all I want to know. Hey, man! Bundy came back again without any buffalo. What are you going to do about it? You want to stay here in this forsaken place and starve? Or will you fight?
Mother, what's going to happen?
They'll wreck the car. We've got to stop those men.
Come on, I'll help. And Little Beaver, you stay right where you are.
Don't go outside, Father. Mr. Ryder.
I'll deal with that Jim McCluskey. He's to blame.
Hey, McCluskey.
Well, what do you want?
Order those men to calm down. Stop this riot.
When their stomachs are caving in for want of food, nobody can stop
them. You started them, and I'm going to knock the living daylights out of you.
O'Grady, O'Grady, look out. He's got a pick handle.
O'Grady! Hey!
Oh, it's too late. McCluskey, you got him. Only one thing to do, Ryder. We got to shoot it out with him.
No, wait, Bill. Can't do that.
But they'll tear us to ribbons.
Maybe not. Wait. Now, wait a minute, men. Now, quiet. I've got something to say to you.
And who are you, cowboy?
Ryder's the name, since you're interested. Since you're so anxious to fight, McCluskey, maybe you'll be willing to fight with your fists instead of clubs.
I ain't afraid of you, cowboy.
Then I'll give you reason to be. I guess that'll take care of you for a while, Mr. McCluskey.
Yeah.
All right, now, men, listen to me. This coyote here has been feeding a lot of lies. He's trying, for reasons of his own or somebody's higher up, to make you quit your jobs building this railroad. Are you going to be taken over by an insignificant side wonder like him? There isn't any beef tonight, no. But it's not the fault of O'Grady and Prairie Bill. It's the fault of the very people who are stirring you up to revolt. Now, will you men be patient? Eat what there is here. Go back to work in the morning, and we'll see that you get food.
Hey, Ryder! That shot was meant for you.
A little too close for comfort. Should have ventilated my head for me.
Whoever it was is riding off over there.
Me see him.
What did you see, Little Beaver?
Man shoot him right up on horse. Him Ace Hanlon.
Ace Hanlon? So he is here. Come on, Little Beaver. We're taking off after Hanlon.
Huh. Make him hurry.
Here, Thunder. All right, Thunder. Hit that trail. Come on, Thunder! And rode this way, Little Beaver. I'm certain of it.
Look him up, Ryder. Look him.
What? Oh, yes, I see. Right ahead, Indian camp.
Him Pawnee.
Easy, Thunder, easy. Must be the tribe that's stampeding the buffalo. I'd like to know what they're...
Maybe go talk him chief, huh?
No, that wouldn't work. Maybe if Prairie Bill was here. Say.
But you see him.
That horse. The horse that's tethered a little way from the campfire. Look familiar to you?
That a Mace Hanlon horse.
It sure is. And that means Hanlon's the one who's stirring up these Indians.
Maybe we catch him now, huh?
No, wait. I've got to find out what Hanlon's saying to those Pawnees. Little Beaver, think you can crawl near enough to hear?
Can do him.
All right, go ahead. I'll wait here. And don't take any chances.
Little Beaver, all right.
Now listen to me, Chief. Listen to what I say. There's another herd of buffalo nearby, understand?
Buffalo come from north.
That's right. Now tomorrow you're to stampede them back where they came from.
No more stampede.
You're gonna do as I say. You've done it before and you're gonna do it again.
No stampede. Injun, not make them trouble.
Now look here. You don't want your tribe to starve, do you? Prairie Bill and his hunters will kill off all the buffalo in these parts. You won't have any left for your own food. Now, don't be a fool.
No want them starved, but...
Look, you see this? See what I have in my hand?
Oh, money. Much money.
That's right, much money. Now, there's a man who doesn't want this new railroad to go through, and he's willing to pay to see that it doesn't.
Pay? Injun?
Sure. I pay you money, you stampede buffalo. No food for men building railroad, they quit. See?
Me see.
All right, then. Here's your money. Now, in the morning, your riders will head off the buffalo before they get to the canyons. Turn them back and keep driving them on. What
is that? Maybe animal.
No, it wasn't. There's somebody behind those bushes. And it isn't going to be healthy for whoever.
What is that? The little Indian kid that travels with Ryder. Get up there, you.
No hurt him. Me get him lost. See campfire.
Yes, and here, too. Get you back here. Hey, Chief.
What you got him?
Here. Take this Injun kid and tie him up. Don't let him get away, whatever happens. He hurt us.
Me tie him.
Ooh. Hey, what's the idea, kid? Stop that howling. Ooh. Stop it.
Take this little wildcat off my hands, Chief. You come.
Somebody coming.
Oh, reach for this guy, Ace.
It's Red Ryder. I'm getting out of here.
Bill Beaver, I'll get you. Let go of that Indian boy. He's my friend.
You go.
Hold it, Little Beaver. All right, up on the saddle with me.
Me ready. But Ace Hanlon got him way.
That's all right. We'll catch up with him soon. Now, hang on. All right, Thunder. Come on, Thunder.
We return to the adventures of Red Ryder in just a moment.
All right, that is the first portion of Red Ryder from March 5th, 1942, Iron Horse Junction, starring Reed Hadley. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know, there were quite a few Red Ryder movies, and you know who played Little Beaver in those movies? Tony Blake, Robert Blake.
Robert Blake,
yeah,
Beretta.
Beretta. And he had quite a scandal not too long ago, right? He was accused of potentially murdering his wife. That's not a good thing.
No.
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 But he played Little Beaver. And I was a big Beretta fan,
were
man.
You?
I used to watch Beretta.
Watch for the bird?
Oh, gosh. You know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
That's
that was
right.
his big thing. He used to say, you know,
yeah,
you could take that to the bank with you. He'd say a lot. And I just thought it was a great, great series. And it was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that show, Beretta, was based, and of course Roger would know this, he's a fountain of information,
of
although he's not there, so he can't hear
no.
me right now. I believe it was based on a New York detective, a real detective, that there was a movie called Serpico.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, there was a movie called Serpico, and that was based on a real detective. And I think that TV series, Beretta, could be wrong. Our listeners would know the answer. But I believe it was based on Serpico. Tony Blake played that part. But of course, he was a little rascal also,
right.
Robert Blake. And he was in the movies, a little kid in the movies, playing Little Beaver. So there you have it. Let's get back now to the adventures of Red Ryder.
Red Ryder, having rescued Little Beaver from the renegade Indian chief, has ridden back to the railroad town of Iron Horse Junction, temporary headquarters of the construction gang. Now seated at the counter, he is in conversation with Prairie Bill, who is beginning to devise a plan for the morning stampede.
So you see, Prairie Bill, there's no question they're going to stampede tomorrow morning. We've got to find some way to stop them.
Well, stopping a buffalo stampede isn't as easy as that, Ryder. But maybe there's another way.
What's that?
I know this country around here like a book. And from what Little Beaver heard at the Indian camp, I can tell just about where these bison are grazing.
Yes, well.
Well, down along the edge of that plain are three box canyons. That means we've got three chances.
Chances to head them off into one of those box canyons,
That's
eh?
That's it. We'll keep under cover until those Indians start the stampede. Then we'll ride out near the head of the herd. Where the leaders go, the others will follow
Mr.
if we're
Bundy,
lucky.
I've got... Ryder, I didn't know you were back.
I'm back, all right. With some news that may give you the buffalo meat you need.
Oh, sure, and that's wonderful, Mr. Ryder.
Well, we're not sure yet, Molly. But you can pretty nearly bet you can feed your patties proper tomorrow, thanks to the help of Red Ryder.
You'll never know what you're doing for us, Mr. Ryder.
Don't let's worry about that now, ma'am. Right now, if you can find us a place to lie down, though, we'd better get a little rest.
Why, of course.
We got him sleep, then ride him.
Not you, Little Beaver. I can't let you get mixed up in a stampede like this is going to be. You'll stay here and wait for us.
No going with Red Ryder?
No, this is one time I'll have to leave you behind. And good night, Miss Molly. We'll be seeing you tomorrow.
Here we are, Red. We'll just wait here a bit.
There's the buffalo herd over there, all right. The lighter it gets, the more I can see of them.
Now, you see over there the canyons I spoke about?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. One, two, three of them.
Stampeding them north as they must, they'll come right close to the mouths of those canyons. Now, we can turn them into the first, well and good. If we can't, there's still two more.
Hold on. Look at that. Isn't the herd starting to move?
Oh, by golly, it is. And if I'm not wrong, I see some of those Pawnees over yonder starting the stampede.
Then we'd better be ready.
Now, mind you, Red Ryder, this is going to be no easy matter. Once you get mixed up in that herd, chances are you'll be trampled underfoot.
I know. That's a chance we have to take.
Now, here they come. Watch for the leaders of the herd.
Think of all that buffalo meat they're driving off. We've got to stop them, Bill.
Well, if it's possible, we will. I'll get ready. All right, ready, men. Heading for the first box canyon. Drive it all you can. They're heading away. Come on, Thunder. Ride up. Watch it, Red. Don't get so close to that herd. They won't turn. Can't make them turn into the canyon. There's still two more ahead. You gotta make one of them.
Get over there, you ornery critters.
Red, look out!
Thank you.
riding in this cloud of dust they're kicking up. I thought you'd gone down.
They almost got me once, but I managed to ride off in time.
You did a good job there, Red Rider. That took a lot of nerve to do what you did.
It's worth it as long as we won. Say, no other way out of that canyon, is there?
No, it's a perfect box. And I'll get my skinners busy. We'll have plenty of meat to take back to that railroad camp.
And it'll be right welcome, too, I reckon. I wonder what Ace Hanlon will think of that.
Yeah, Mr. Hanlon.
What's the meaning of this? Those bison are all heading into the canyon over there. The Indians had orders to stampede them north.
Well, he was heading that way all right until some hunters rode in and drove him back.
What hunters?
Well, Prairie Bill was one of them, and the other one that seemed to be doing some right fancy riding was wearing a red shirt.
Red Rider.
Who? Huh?
Red Rider, that's who it was. They'll get plenty of beef now, and those paddies will go on working.
Well, it's too late to do anything about it now, Mr.
Too
Hanlon.
Late? No, it isn't. O'Grady don't know they got their beef, and the paddies don't know it. By the time they get back to Iron Horse Junction, there won't be any such place.
Here, what are you going to do?
I'm going to pound the dirt into that railroad camp as fast as this cayuse will carry me. And when I get through, there won't be a paddy that'll stay in these parts. McCluskey! Hey, Jim McCluskey!
I'm in!
Hello, Mr. Hanlon. Didn't expect to see you back here today.
Listen to me, McCluskey, and listen fast.
Yeah.
The stampede went wrong.
Went wrong. But I thought you had them ponies all fixed.
Of course I had them fixed. But along comes Red Rider with Prairie Bill. And they went and stampeded the herd into a box canyon.
Yeah.
A few hours from now, they'll be in here with beef enough to keep this camp for weeks.
Oh, then we're sunk, huh?
Sunk nothing. Old Jonathan Ripley paid us good money for keeping this railroad from going through, hasn't he?
Why, sure, but he...
Well, we can still do it.
But how?
Come on with me. I'm going to speak to these paddies myself this time. And when I get through, nobody's going to want to stay here.
All right, Mr. Hanlon, but I don't see
why... Your job ain't to see. Just take orders and follow my lead and you'll be okay. Now wait.
Huh?
Men! Listen to me, men! Quiet down, quiet. I've just come from the buffalo camp back there on the plains.
Yeah.
I watched the hunters try to get buffalo meat enough to feed you, and I saw them fail. Now, I've got your interest at heart, men. I know this country better than you do. If you stay here, you'll starve. You want to do that?
No,
of course you don't. You want to get back where you can at least fill your aching stomachs. So why don't you do it? Why don't you take over this train here and run it back someplace where you won't die like dogs?
Now, wait a minute, Hanlon. We'll get food for the men. Don't worry about that.
Oh, you think so, O'Grady? Well, I know different. Now, get out while you can, men. Get out, take this train and get it. Are you with me?
Father, what is it? What's happened?
Oh, it's that Hanlon. He's stirring the paddies up to take over the train and head back.
But what can we do?
Do? There's nothing we can do, Molly. If they go through with this, they'll make us prisoners, probably.
Little Beaver fix them.
Little Beaver? Where did you come from, and what can you do?
Hear him from cook car. Men take him train back. I get him help so train stay here.
Help? What do you mean? What can you do?
Me get him Red Rider. He fix him. You betcha.
But Red Rider left you with us, and you're not to be doing
maybe
it.
Maybe train start, but Red Rider start and just saying, me get him Red Rider to help.
Looks like a good day's work. The way your skinners have been working, we'll have plenty of meat to take back to the railroad camp.
And lots more after that, too, Red. I'll post a guard at the mouth of this canyon, and we'll keep the rest of the buffalo here till we want them.
I guess that'll fix Mr. Ace Hanlon and his schemes.
Sure will. Even if that ornery polecat is being paid off by the president of this rival line, as you suspect, you can't argue those patties out of some good fresh meat.
Bill, wait. Who's this? What's Little Beaver?
What, Indian kid? Looks like he's in a hurry, too.
He sure is. Little Beaver, what the world?
Red Rider, you come quick. Help Mr. O'Grady and Miss Molly. Train going back. Nothing left.
Now, wait a minute, Little Beaver. What are you trying to say? You mean the work train at Iron Horse Junction has gone back?
Go back. Ace Hanlon tell him you no get buffalo meat. They head him back. Go with Big Choo-Choo.
What about O'Grady and Miss Molly? Are they all right?
No savvy. They tie up and cook her.
So that's Hanlon's game, is it? Oh, Bill.
Oh, yeah, Red.
You get that meat together and have your boys bring it down the line until you see the train. I'll ride on ahead and try to stop him.
No, but look here, Red. You can't stop that train all by yourself.
Remember what you said about those buffalo? Head off the leader and you've got the whole herd. That's what I'm going to do. Now come as fast as you can. We'll be ready for you. All right, Thunder. Hit that trail. Come on, Thunder. Right now.
Almost make them.
You stay back, little beaver. Liable to be some fireworks.
You be careful.
Sure, I'll be careful. Careful to take care of Hanlon. Lucky I caught up with the train on this grade. Had to slow down. Now, little beaver, take Thunder when I get on this train. Now I can make it. This train stopped somewhere. Now for Hanlon.
Look, Ryder, he's Hanlon back there. Get him on horse on flat car.
I see him, little beaver. Hold it, Hanlon. I haven't finished with you.
Ryder, you're going to get it.
Better draw faster than that, Hanlon.
He jump him off, Red Ryder. You shoot him.
No, there are other ways of getting Hanlon than by shooting. Got to get down to this coat car and see about Mr. O'Grady and Molly.
Red Ryder.
Ryder, how did you know? Untie us, will you?
Sure. Feels like you were taken for a ride and not by choice. Hey, wait a minute. Oh. There. There, you're free now, Molly.
Oh, sure, and it was awful, Red Ryder. Why, those men...
I know. Now you, Mr. O'Grady.
Thank you.
There. All right?
Well, Ryder, I thought you'd take a hand, huh?
Suppose I did. You got something to say about it, McCluskey?
Yeah, I got something to say about it. And an old score to even...
What's that? Who's outside there?
That's something Mr. McCluskey is going to be very disappointed to see, Miss Molly. If he can get up and see.
I'll get you for this, Ryder!
I don't think you will, McCluskey. Because there's a law in this part of the country about inciting a riot. And I think we'll make use of that law.
Oh, there you are, Red.
Well, it's Prairie Bill. How'd you happen to be here, Bill?
I just wanted to bring your order of buffalo beef, O'Grady. A few hundred pounds for today and more where that came from. And you can give part of your thanks to Red Ryder.
Oh, Mr. Ryder, you helped save some of the buffalo.
Well, that was nothing, Miss Molly.
Red Ryder, it's Hanlon go. No time to lose.
Say, that's right. I've got a job to do. See you later, folks.
Say, wait a minute, Ryder.
No time now. Enjoy that beef. Well, how about it, little beaver? Feel like hitting the trail of Ace Hanlon again?
You betcha.
All right, then. What are we waiting for? Go, Thunder. Hit their trail. Come on, Thunder.
The next exciting episode of Red Ryder.
That's the adventures of Red Ryder, March 5th, 1942. Trouble at Iron Horse Junction that starred Reed Hadley as Red Ryder. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, folks, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night beginning at 11 p.m. Make sure you're with us for all these great classic radio shows on the WGN Radio Theater. On Saturdays, we're here till 2 a.m. and on Sundays till 1 a.m. So 3 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday, 5 hours a week of all your favorite classic shows. Now, when we come back here next week, Lisa, we will have a terrific lineup. You ready for this?
I'm ready for
it. Do you
it.
Have your notes?
I do, because we're starting off with Jack Benny,
right,
which is a favorite, a fan favorite, and a co-host favorite.
Yeah.
So it's
what's
a favorite.
After Jack Benny?
We've got Dimension X.
Yeah.
And we have...
The Lineup.
The Lineup.
It's a,
now, it, I don't know that's the Lineup.
The Lineup is a police show.
All right. Like, have we played that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. On Sunday, we have Mike's favorite, actually, Boston Blackie.
No, it's my favorite.
And yours. I know, but Mike likes,
he likes
that
Johnny
one, too.
Dollar.
And The Great Gildersleeve. And I know your brother doesn't like that,
no,
but I do.
No, my brother doesn't like Gildersleeve. But what a lineup. Jack,
I know,
Benny,
right?
Dimension X, The Lineup.
The Lineup is in our lineup.
Boston Blackie and The Great Gildersleeve.
It's a good lineup.
So,
lineup.
There you have it. Don't miss any of those shows. We'll have a fun fact for you as well on our Facebook page. And all kinds
we'll
of
post
good stuff.
A podcast tomorrow or,
you know,
later today.
People, you know, we don't talk about our podcast enough. People
well,
may
I'm
not
just
realize.
About to, but you cut me off.
Well, I was just going to say this, and I, you're so funny. You know what? To the moon, Alice. To the moon, Alice.
Exactly.
You know, this show and every single show we do. You know, we're on late, so I get it if you fall asleep. I mean, Lisa falls asleep during the show, and she's on the air here.
So I was going to let them know where the podcast is.
You know, you might want to listen to the show okay. via podcast if you miss any of our hours. So how do you do it, Lisa?
All right, so we post that for you on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. We have Saturday's show and Sunday's show. It's also posted on WGNRadio.com because I share it from that to our Facebook page. So there's dozens
there's,
of ways to
you know
find
what?
Us.
There are other ways, too, because I just Google
and
it.
And you can Google the show number, right?
Yeah, I just like go onto Google and I type in like WGN Radio Theater and then whatever number.
And we show like, up that way,
like,
too.
Like this is 309, but like yesterday's show, I was listening to it driving in today because I Googled WGN Radio Theater 308 and popped up. And
right. That's because Curtis popped it up for us. But, you know, you could open the window and yell WGN Radio Theater and it'll probably just show up that way, too.
Right.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think so.
Okay. You want to do a little crack the quote?
Yeah. Well, in this hour, we have The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. But right now, it is time for Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
Ben-Hur, 1959.
Ben-Hur. Boy, it's been a long time
since 1959.
Well, since I saw Ben-Hur, so I may not get this one.
Oh, well, I'm counting
I'm not
on you,
as
Carl.
Confident on
Roger,
this one.
Roger, what do you think?
Roger's
off in La La Land.
He's got a green shirt
I'll
on.
Play
he
Roger's
looks like
place.
Okay.
He sort of looks like Kermit the Frog tonight.
Roger, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow,
got a big green shirt on.
I see. It's a small green shirt though.
it's loose on him. It's a big green shirt.
Well, that's because he's been eating salads.
All right. So call us 312-981-7200. What's the prize?
The prize is 2 tickets to the Chicago Women's Funny Festival, which is at Stage 7. 773 on Belmont.
He's like deep in conversation over there. Look at him. He's like, I think with Esmeralda, he's in deep conversation.
Roger, you missed the whole thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, call us now. 312-981-7200. Play the game. We'll be right back.
Wait, what caller?
We'll take
caller six.
Six.
Yep.
Right now. Call us. Bye.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Randy on the lawn to play with us this morning. Hi, Randy.
Well, good evening to you all both.
Good evening.
I listen to the show every weekend.
Oh,
thanks,
I'm so
Randy.
Glad. Well, thank you for calling in. You're caller number six. We're going to hook you up with some tickets, but we're going to do a little crack the quote first. You ready to go?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, terrific. Number one, Roger, are you listening now?
Yes, I am.
We lost you for a few minutes there, but we were talking about you behind your back.
Yeah, well, in front of me, behind my back.
I'm glad to hear Roger.
Oh,
well,
good.
Thank you. See, that's
I
what
really
I was
like
waiting
Roger.
For.
Roger, he's a good news guy.
He is a good news guy, and he's a good guy besides.
Right, I won't interrupt
and he's
more.
Wearing his Kermit the Frog shirt, so he looks. Yeah. He's a Kermit
I'm
the Frog newsman.
Fan, so him and I get along fine.
We kind of sort of like Roger too. All right, I posted a picture. You can check it out. We're with Roger. Okay, number one. The world is a dangerous place. It's up to you to inform the criminals. Number two, things were said to me that I still haven't forgotten. Number three, to tell me the names of criminals is hardly informing. So you're up first,
Randy. What do you think, Randy?
I think it's number two.
Number two, the things were said to me that I still haven't forgotten. Carl, you're up.
He thought number two, did he say?
He did, yep.
Hmm. I think it's two also.
Two? All right. Roger?
I'm going out on a limb. I'll take number one.
Well, you're a frog. You can go out on a limb.
That's right.
All right. Roger likes the world is a dangerous place. And Randy and Carl like things were said to me that I still haven't forgotten. Let's hear the right answer.
So tell me the names of criminals who hardly inform me.
So that was number three. So you guys were so close, but all off. All off by one or two. But you know what? It doesn't matter because you're the winner, Randy. And you get two tickets to the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. It is the nation's largest.
Kermit the Frog didn't win?
Excuse me.
Yeah, Kermit did not win.
Are you done? Well, Kermit didn't win, but Randy did. And so he gets the nation's largest celebration of women in comedy. It's at Stage 773.
It's not easy being green.
Oh, my gosh.
Turn his mic off.
I would if I could. It's August 23 to 26. Check it out at stage773.com. Okay, I got through.
There you go, Randy. Way to go, buddy.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Randy.
Thanks
for being one of our loyal listeners.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We appreciate all of our listeners. And it is time now to listen to an episode of The Life of Riley. This was a great comedy series. Came to radio back in 1941. Lasted all the way to 1951. Made a transition to television in 1948. For most of the run, William Bendix played Chester A. Riley. In fact, the entire radio run, he was Chester A. Riley. Except for one episode, he had a flu or something. And Irving Brecker, the creator, brought in a guy by the name of Jackie Gleason, kind of an unknown actor, to play one radio episode of The Life of Riley. And then when the show made the transition to television in 1948, William Bendix was not available to play the role. So you know what he did, Irving Brecker?
Yeah.
He brought in Jackie Gleason to play the first season of The Life of Riley.
Good
idea. But then Bendix became available.
Yeah, and, well, Jackie Gleason went on to do other greatness. So
I mean,
it's okay.
What would we do without
the Honeymooners? My childhood would have been different. I'm not kidding.
Of all time.
Without the Honeymooners.
Funniest show of all time.
I agree with you.
So,
as
all right,
crazy
so
as that sounds.
We have a radio episode of The Life of Riley from March 6, 1948. Here's William Bendix in part one of The Life of Riley.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. To hear Chester Riley talk, it would seem that he is endowed with the courage of a lion, the strength of an elephant, and the ferocity of a tiger. But between talking and doing, there's a very wide gap, and Riley invariably falls into it. The other day, for instance, Mrs. Riley and Junior arranged to meet him outside the aircraft plant where he works and do a little shopping together.
Hey, Peg! Peg! Junior! Here I am.
Oh, hello, dear.
Hiya, Pop.
Well, you're right on time.
Well, I almost wasn't on account of that big ape, Hawkins.
Oh, Riley, are you having trouble with your foreman again?
That slave driver wanted me to work overtime and finish a job.
Well, maybe you should have.
Well, I might have if he'd asked me decent. But I didn't like his tone, and I told him so. Look here, Hawkins, I said. You may be my foreman, but you got no right bellowing at me like a bull. As if you was my wife.
Well, that's fine.
Oh, I didn't mean nothing personal, Dumplin'. After all, you're not a bull. If I'd meant you, I'd have said it. Well, anyway, I told him off good.
Well, you should have taken a poke at him, Pop.
Now, Junior.
I almost did. I made him apologize to me, see, but he didn't sound sincere, so I grabbed him by the collar, and I shook him up and down, up and down.
Pop, put me down.
Riley.
Oh, well, excuse me, Junior. Sometimes I don't know my own strength.
Boy, you're strong, all right.
Clean living did it.
Riley. Dear, do you think it was wise laying hands on Hawkins like that? Well, you might have lost your job.
I know, but a guy can only take so much. A guy's got pride, you know. That's more important than any job.
You're okay, Pop.
Well, thanks, son. And let this be a lesson to you, Junior. Don't take no guff from nobody. Stand up to him, like I did to that big baboon Hawkins.
Oh, Riley!
Let's go.
Just a minute, Riley.
Mr. Hawkins.
Who you calling a big baboon?
My boy here. Well, good night, Mr. Hawkins.
Didn't I tell you to stay and finish that job?
Yes, sir.
Then watch the idea sneaking out the minute my back is turned.
Oh, was that your back? I didn't realize. I thought you were still facing me.
Always trying to squirm out of it, eh, you phony?
Hey, now don't let him talk to you like that, Pop. Grab him and make him apologize, like you did before.
What?
The kid don't know what he's saying. He's drunk.
Now, Riley, I'm going easy on you this time, but next time I give an order, I want it carried out. Can you get that through your skull?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll get it through my skull somehow.
That's all. You can go.
Thank you, sir. Come on, Peg. Good night, Mr. Hawkins, sir. Peg. Junior. I hear there's a big blizzard in the east, and I certainly wish I was there. You see, Peg, Junior, about Hawkins.
Well, we're home.
Yeah, we're home.
Well, Riley, aren't you coming in?
May I?
Don't be silly.
Junior, about Hawkins...
I have some homework to do. Excuse me, Father.
Peg, did you hear that? He called me Father. Just like I was a stranger.
Well, sit down, Riley. I'll get you something to eat.
I ain't hungry. Peg, about Hawkins... I ain't really a coward.
Oh, why don't you try to just forget about it?
But you know I ain't a coward.
Well, I know, dear, but...
If I have to fight, I fight. Remember that time in the circus when that guy got fresh with you? Remember how I took a swing at him?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. I sure taught that midget a lesson.
Well, I'll fix you some supper, Riley.
And the only reason I let Hawkins... Well, it was on account of my job. I ain't afraid of him.
I know, dear, and I certainly didn't want you to fight with Hawkins, but...
But what?
Well, you just can't let people walk all over you.
But my job...
You said yourself, sometimes pride is more important than a job.
Yeah, I know, it's easy to say, but in the morning when you're hungry for bacon and eggs, you can't eat fried pride. You understand, don't you?
Of course I do.
And you'll explain it to Junior, won't you?
Well, maybe you'd better leave Junior alone for a few days.
Yeah. I guess he hates me.
Oh, now don't be silly. He couldn't hate you. It's just that... Well, I guess he's a little disappointed in you. You know how boys are. They like to look up to their fathers. Be proud of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was always a hero to him. A regular Florence Nightingale. He'll never forgive me.
Now, stop worrying about it.
His own father, double-crossing.
Oh, now, it's not that bad.
Yes, it is. I had a chance to give him a break, but I didn't. 18 years ago, when you proposed marriage to me, I should have had the decency to turn you down. Peg! Junior! Well, they ain't home. Guy comes home from work, nobody's home. Fine thing. No respect, that's what. Well, I can't really blame them. How can they respect me after what happened yesterday? Oh, I'm no good. Oh, I'm no good. When it gets around, everybody will laugh at me. Why can't I be a man? Stand up to that Hawkins and let him have it. Just one good punch. No!
skin my knuckles. Some hero. What am I picking on the poor piano for? I should be hitting Hawkins. And I will. Sure, why not? I ain't yellow. I just don't fight unless I'm sore. And I'm sore now. I'll fix that, Hawkins. I'm going right over to his house and do it now. Better wait till tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow'll be much better. At the plant. In front of the whole nuts and bolts club. Yeah, I'll mobilize them. I'll pulverize them. I'll come at them like a raging bull. Hawkins, I'll say, put up your dukes. You're gonna get what's coming to you. And then Hawkins will say...
Please, Mr. Riley, sir. Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Get off your knees, Hawkins. I can't stand a coward. This is it, Hawkins. You asked for it.
No! Oh, Mr. Riley, sir, you broke my nose. It's all crooked.
It is, huh? Well, now it's straight again.
Pop. Pop, what's the matter? You look so funny. What happened?
Ask Hawkins. Ask him how he liked that punch in the nose I gave him.
Pop, you punched Hawkins. Oh, boy.
Huh? Oh. Oh, hello, Junior.
You punched that Hawkins.
Who, me?
Oh, gee. Oh, your knuckles are bleeding.
But Junior,
oh, boy, you must have walloped him.
No, wait.
Hey, Mom, come here quick.
What's the matter?
Hey, Mom, Pop punched Mr. Hawkins in the nose.
Junior, wait, don't...
I'm glad, Riley. Now, I don't approve of fighting, but if ever anybody deserved it, that Hawkins did. I hope you punched him good and hard.
Peg, wait, you see, I...
Heavens, look at your knuckles.
But, Peg,
I'll bathe him for you, dear. And don't you worry about your job. I'm glad you hit him. I'm proud of you.
So am I. Gee, I wish I could have been there when you laid him out.
So do I. I mean, I wish Junior could have been there.
All right, you're okay, Pop. Gee, and I thought that...
Thought what?
No, it doesn't matter now. This proves you're okay. How did it happen, Pop?
Yes, dear, how did it start?
You really want to know?
Yeah, come on, Pop, tell us.
Well... Here I was, and there was Hawkins, just about where the piano is, and I hauled off like this, and I let him have it, right in his big teeth, like this. Ow! And so help me, that's exactly what happened.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
Oh, Ken, across the nation, the shampoo sensation is Prel.
Yes, Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. You'll like Prel for two reasons.
First, Prel reveals a radiant natural beauty in your hair no soap or soap shampoo can match. Prel uncovers lovely youthful highlights, leaves your hair wonderfully soft, satin smooth, easy to manage.
Second, Prel goes after unsightly dandruff quickly, removes it in as little as 3 minutes. Leaves your hair sparkling clean, well-groomed.
And Prel goes farther than any other known shampoo, cream or liquid, because it's concentrated for economy. You use less, get more lather.
So ask for the shampoo in the handy tube. Ask for...
P-R-E-L-L-L shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L
by Prel Shampoo.
P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
I used to use Prel Shampoo.
Well, you don't anymore.
No.
And this is true, folks.
Oh,
we
no.
Carpool together.
It's
okay?
True.
Lisa and I carpool. And it was dark, right?
Yes.
And she pulls up next to my car, and she gets into my car, and she's not even sitting in my car yet. She hasn't even buckled the safety belt yet. And I said, you used your really good shampoo tonight, didn't you?
I did. It makes it really, really shiny.
Like, she has some, like, it's what, like
it's fancy
$550 a bottle or something like that?
No, not quite, but close. It's Moroccan oil shampoo
but
and
it's
conditioner.
Expensive, super expensive.
But let me tell you something, Lisa. If my husband's listening, don't tell him how much it costs.
Dan, it's like $500 a bottle. But I will tell you this. It works.
Right?
Your hair looks amazing.
Well, thanks, Carl. It's
shiny.
Smells good, too.
Well,
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
I know.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're listening to a very funny episode of The Life of Riley. William Bendix starring in this. He punched his foreman. And that could have some serious consequences when you do that. I've done that a few times in my day. Let's go back to March 6, 1948 for the conclusion now to The Life of Riley.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Peg.
Hello, dear.
Hiya, champ.
Oh, what's the matter, Riley? You seem upset.
You bet I'm upset. Who's been telling everybody I punched Hawkins in the nose? It's all over the plant.
Oh, I guess I told them.
You?
Yeah, I mean I was bragging to some of the kids, and I guess they told their fathers.
Why don't you mind your own business? Now, on account of you, I'm a hero. The guys at the plant nominated me to the Nuts and Bolts Club. They're giving me a dinner tonight at Luigi's.
Well, you always wanted to get into the club.
Yeah, but
well, then what are you yelling at Junior for? You ought to thank him.
But Hawkins... Thanks, son.
Well, I don't understand you, Riley. You stood up for your rights. Why don't you want people to know? It isn't like you to be so modest.
Well, yeah. For years you've been trying to get in that club at your plant. Now you're in. What's the harm?
Yeah, but you don't under... The... Yeah, what's the harm? Sure. What's done is done. Sure, what am I worrying about? Everything will be okay. You know, Dublin, sometimes I ain't very bright.
No, dear.
That's what I like about you. You always agree with me. Junior, I'm sorry I snapped at you.
No, that's okay, Pop.
Here's half a buck. Buy yourself something.
Oh, say, thanks, Pop. Oh, this will come in handy. I'm taking Angela to the school dance tomorrow.
Oh, you got a new girl.
Yeah, Angela Hawkins.
Well, that's fine. Junior, you mean Hawkins, kid?
Yeah, she's in my class.
I forbid it. You stay away from that Angela. First thing you know, Hawkins will find out I pushed him in the nose. I mean, I forbid it.
But Riley, what a...
Hello, Riley speaking.
Riley, this is Hawkins.
Oh. I'm sorry. Riley just moved. You got the
wrong... Don't hang up, Riley.
No, sir.
I hear there's a little rumor going around that you punched me in the nose.
Oh.
You're a big hero. Them wise guys in the Nuts and Bolts Club are giving you dinner tonight. I thought you might like to know there's going to be an unexpected guest there. Me.
Oh.
And I'm going to give you the licking of your life in front of everybody.
Oh.
Well, who was that, Riley?
Hey, that was Ralph Edwards.
Ralph Edwards?
Yeah. He wanted to know who the walking man is. Something tells me after tonight, it ain't gonna be me. Oh, what a mess. I'm always getting into trouble. The minute I get out of one hole, I find myself in another.
You're not the only one, believe me.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Digger, I'm in a jam. You see, I was nominated to the Nuts and Bolts Club at my plant.
Ah, yes, for punching your foreman in the nose, wasn't it?
Well, how did you hear?
Oh, I'm always picking up dirt. Congratulations. I can't stand foreman. I remember some years ago I had a foreman, a short, fat little character. We called him Mr. 5x5. He was always ragging me. I thought it would never end. But fortunately, it did.
Well... How, Digger?
Mr. 5x5 became 6x3.
Well, my trouble is I never really hit Hawkins. It's just a rumor.
Oh. And everybody believes you were brave enough to punch the bully?
Yeah, everybody but the bully.
Oh, this is serious. Riley, your fellow men must never know of your deceit. Let me see. There must be some way I can cover you up.
Oh, it's too late. They'll find out. Hawkins said he's coming to the dinner tonight and show me up. He weighs 280.
I've handled them bigger. But this is a dinner.
If I don't fight Hawkins, everybody will look down at me with the place where I work.
If you do fight Hawkins, everybody will look down at you at the place where I work.
I don't know what to do, Digger.
There's only one thing you can do if you're a man. Go to this dinner. Face this huge bruiser. Stand your ground. And no matter what happens, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to go, but not tonight. I'll ask him to make the dinner next month.
No, Riley, don't procrastinate.
Yeah, you're right, Digger. I might as well face the music tonight.
That's the spirit. In our profession, we have a saying. Never put off till tomorrow what you can put away today. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
The monthly meeting of the Nuts and Bolts Club will now come to order. Yeah, fellow members, we are gathered here to welcome co-worker Chester A. Riley amongst our midst. And we all know what he's done to deserve this honor. It's something we all been aching to do for years. Only he had the guts to do it, and also the knuckles. Now, if there are any objections before I pronounce candidate Riley a full-fledged bolt in the Nuts and Bolts Club, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. No objections? Okay. I hereby...
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes Bolt Jim Gillis.
Mr. Chairman, fellow members, I got a few words to say. Riley, I'm your best friend, ain't I?
That's right, for 20 years.
I'm like a brother to you?
That's right, we're sisters under the skin.
I'd do anything for you, right?
Right.
But I'm against letting you into this club.
Hey!
No!
Order!
Let's look at the facts without prejudice. All of a sudden, we hear Riley punches Hawkins in the nose. Well, I just want to ask one question. Where? When? How? Who saw him? Who was there? And Hawkins. Is the shape of Hawkins' nose any different? No. It's just as crooked as it always was. I say, let's not be hasty. I'm Riley's dearest pal. But I say, before we let him into this club, let's investigate
him. Order, order, order. Candidate Riley, you have heard Gillis. I'm afraid we'll have to have a few more details as to just how you punched Hawkins in the nose.
Yeah,
tell us how it happened.
Well, fellas, it was this way. I'm reminded of a little story. There was once a Scotchman called McTavish.
Stick to Hawkins.
Well, you see, Hawkins came over and called me a stupid...
And then you hit him?
There was once this Scotchman called McTavish.
What about Hawkins?
He came over, see, and he said I was a moron, so I hauled off like this, and...
And then you hit him.
So this Scotchman called McTavish. One day he was pressing his...
Come on, get to the point.
Well, pardon me, gents.
Yeah, what is it, waiter?
Is there a Mr. Riley here?
Yeah, that's me.
There's a Mr. Hawkins outside wants to see you. What'll I tell him?
There was once a Scotchman called McTavish.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? Hawkins is here to see Riley? Yesterday he got punched in the nose. Today he looks like they're pals.
I don't like that.
Wait a minute, fellas. I ain't no pal of Hawkins.
Now wait, Riley. No matter what you say, the members is going to be septic. But there is. There is one sure way that we can settle this. You say you punched Hawkins on the nose? Well, go out there and do it again.
Punch him? In cold blood?
Yeah, sure. Let him have it.
Well, fellas, wait. Stop pushing me.
Now, wait, guys. Better let Riley go in there alone. See, if we all go, Hawkins will think we're ganging up on him and run away.
Yeah, that's right. Well, go on, Riley.
Go ahead, Riley. We'll come in when we hear Hawkins begging for mercy.
Yeah. Well, here I go. Goodbye, boys. I mean...
So here you are, Riley.
Hello, Mr. Hawkins, sir.
Celebrating how you punched me in the nose, eh?
Mr. Hawkins, please, why are you rolling up your sleeves?
Riley, you ever play with a jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah, you want to play?
No, I'm just asking, because when I get through with you, you're going to be in so many pieces, you'll have to be an expert to put yourself together again. Stand still, you coward!
That done it! You can't call me a coward! It's bad enough my junior did it. Put up your dukes, Hawkins. I'm coming at you, you bully.
Get up off the floor, Riley. You bent the radiator with your head.
Oh. Why did you duck, you snake? Oh, my head.
Feeling better, Riley? I'll wait here while you get your strength back. I don't want to murder you until you're nice and healthy.
Okay, Hawkins, I'll fight you. But promise me you'll tell my wife I wasn't afraid.
It'll be a pleasure.
And tell Digger Odell I died like a... Never mind, I'll tell him myself. And tell my boy Junior his father wasn't a coward. Such a nice little boy. Ask your daughter, Angela.
Never mind my daughter, Angela. Hey, wait a minute. Did you say Junior?
Yeah, my boy.
The kid who's taking my little Angela to the dance tomorrow?
Yeah, he loves to dance. I encourage him.
That's your boy?
Yeah, he's mine. All paid for. I got the doctor's receipt to prove it.
Hey, that's right. I saw him with you that day at the plant. Oh, he's such a nice boy. My sweet little Angela's crazy about him. You know, it looked like the poor little angel wasn't going to this dance. And then your boy asked her. Oh, she's so happy. I took her to the beauty parlor and gave her a permanent wave. And I had her little toenails painted.
You mean the ones on her feet?
Yeah. Ox blood red. And say, you know, she looks like a little princess. Oh, she's so... Riley, what are you doing on the floor? Get up, you'll catch cold.
Well, ain't you going to hit me?
Hit you? Junior's father? I should say not. My little Angela would never forgive me. Come on, get up.
Oh, well, thanks, Mr. Hawkins.
Call me Gus.
Okay, Gus. Gee, I'm glad we ain't fighting anymore.
Heck, why should we fight? After all, you're Junior and my Angela. Well, who knows? Maybe someday. Plenty of time to fight over who's going to pay for the wedding.
You know, Gus, I'm sorry the rumor got around that I punched you. I'll tell the boys I really didn't.
No. Let them think what they want. Don't do me no harm. But you know, I'm kind of curious. How did that rumor start?
Oh, well, it's a long story. You see, I skinned my knuckles, you see, and they were bleeding. You see the scars?
Where? Poor knuckles. Yeah. How did it happen, pal?
Well, you see, we got a piano in my house, and I was standing here, and the piano was there, just about where you're standing.
Uh-huh.
And I was mad at something, and I hauled off and hit the piano like this.
My nose! You broke my nose! Oh, look, it's bleeding!
No, I didn't mean it, Gus. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Gus.
Hey, Riley, the boy...
Oh, my nose!
Hey. Holy smoke! Hey, fellas, look! Riley done it again!
Hey, good old Riley!
Hey! Look, fellas, wait!
Riley, we're not only going to make you a full-fledged member, but we're going to give you the highest honor possible.
And I second the emotion.
Fellas, Gillis, you mean you're...
Yeah.
Oh, I got to phone Peg and tell her. Oh, boy, wait till she hears. Gee, fellas, I'll try to live up to this honor, really. Hello, Peg? Yeah, this is Riley. No, nothing's wrong. Yeah, I'm at the dinner. Yeah, they elected me all right, but they didn't make me a bolt. I'm proud to say your husband is a nut. Jr. What are you doing home? You were supposed to take Angela to the dance tonight.
Yeah, I know, but I broke the date.
You what?
That Angela bores me. I broke the date.
Oh, Junior, why did you do it? That ain't the only thing that's going to be broken. How could you... Hello? Oh. Yeah, Mr. Hawkins. Yeah, I was expecting to hear from you. Yeah, I know what happened. Yeah, okay, Mr. Hawkins, here's my nose. Come and get it.
To join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Alan Lipscott, Reuben Schiff, and Dick Powell. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. This is Ken Niles reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo. Listen again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley, March 6, 1948. Good episode, sponsored by P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo. And they were talking about Truth or Consequences coming up next.
So let's do
which
that.
Which was actually another kind of a quiz type of fun show. If you can tell me, Lisa, who the host, MC, of Truth or Consequences was, I will give you... $1.
$1?
A whole dollar. And
that's,
you know,
it?
Here's the other thing. This same person created the People's Court. The People's Court. Remember that show?
Of course.
It might be still on. Quit looking it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It was Ralph Edwards.
I see it now.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
Quick
then
fingers.
It's more on the WGN Radio Theater.